Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. Cause when I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. This is The Gathering. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
And this is our live afterlife discussion group. And tonight we're going to be discussing the Seth material. Maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe you weren't. I wasn't until a couple of weeks ago. Tom and Fran have read, you know, some of the material. I don't know if you did your homework and you read some of it more.
The dog ate my homework, but
Well, all you need is a dog.
I did my homework last night. I did speed reading. So I think we'll be relying on Tom and Fran to elaborate on a lot of this stuff. Before we get going, tonight's show is sponsored by
L&R Productions.
You can reach them at lnrproductions.com. And Fran has some interesting and exciting news to tell us about upcoming events.
So much interesting and exciting news. First of all, you definitely want to, after the show, go on to the Forever Family Foundation website and buy your holiday past raffle tickets. Because between you and me and the wall, nobody's been buying them.
Ooh.
Which means your chances of winning are way, 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 way up there.
When is the
time? So you would have to be foolish. It's in a few weeks. It's
wow.
December 22nd. You'd have to be foolish not to buy tickets. So it's $5 a chance, and you will win 1, 2, 3, 4, or even 5, because your name stays in it until all 5 winners are pulled. It's a one-hour phone reading with one of these certified mediums, Bobby Allison, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lowe Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, and Kathy Towle. So that's your last warning of that nature.
You know, Fran, and I think that would be a good, I know around offices, or right now this week, it's Hanukkah, it's a great gift to give somebody, or for a secret Santa thing around your office.
It is a great gift, and we've had people who actually buy the tickets. And then there's a little place when you're checking out to put a message in, and you could say who it's for. We will send the confirmation to the purchaser, and then they can just gift wrap it or do whatever they want with it. But we will know when it's drawn who the winner is. So we also have 3 of our December holidays pass, which we do every year, coming up. This year, they will be in Bethel, Connecticut, which is this Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Best Western Berkshire Inn at 11 Stony Hill Road. There are a few seats left. If you're worried about reserving your seat, you can call the office at 631-425-7707. You can show up there, and if there are seats, you can have them. Or you could go online and go to our events page, scroll down to the holidays past events, and click on the December 4th event to make your reservations. If you are not going to be in Bethel, Connecticut on December 4th, you might just be in Iselin, New Jersey on December 11th, where we will have the same event, but this time it's Janet Nohavik as the certified medium. I didn't mention that it was Angelina Diana in Bethel, Connecticut, along with Dave Kane, who's our afterlife advocate. And if those dates don't work, how about December 18th, again with Angelina Diana, but this time at the Melville Marriott in Melville, New York. And the very last thing I want to tell you about is the hard times that are still upon us. Our supporters write to say they love the radio show. They want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. even though we are 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the internet, and we know everybody's on the internet right now shopping, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items in one of their 800 and more stores, sites, hotels that they have online, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you're shopping this season to show us that you care.
Okay. And before we go to a break, I just wanted to mention, as Fran was talking about that raffle that we had, and a lot of people sometimes say to us, well, I don't know, a phone reading, you know, how could that work? And the fact of the matter is that many of the researchers have found that there is no difference in the content or quality of the information that a medium gives via the phone than if they're in person, because, I mean, we're talking about, we're not talking about signals, you know, we're talking about the fact of the matter is we don't know what we're talking about of how it works, but the unconscious is not restricted by time and space. So
right. So you have to allow for that. And if you can believe in signs and you can believe that they can make your phone ring and your lights go on and off, then why can't you say a medium read you over the telephone? But more important than that is that Dr. Beischel has pointed out that in a phone reading, not only is the energy said to be a little bit stronger because it's more pure, it's not interfering with the medium's real world because they're not looking at the sitter, they're not distracted by the sitter, and they're not trying to infer things from the sitter. It's a pure reading, so
right.
The energy is a lot
stronger. And also from a research point of view, they feel it's more evidential because there's no possibility that they're reading your body language because they can't see you. So let's go to our break, and we come back. We hope that you'll join us if you're familiar with the Seth material, or even if you're not, give us a call at 1-888-815-9756, and stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com. I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. Now, we're going to talk about the Seth material.
Oh,
and for those of you who are not familiar with the Seth material, Jane Roberts channeled an entity named Seth who, as with some great channelers in history of Seth comes through with a tremendous amount of insight and wisdom and things that he was espousing principles of science that came true later. And from what I understand, we were just talking a little bit off air, I mean, there are Seth conferences and there are Seth discussion groups, and it's a whole, movement. And we're going to just touch on, some of the points. The first thing, when I hear about, channeling, the first thing that I am always curious about is how it happened, because I'm always suspect with, because you don't know whether is it coming from the mind of the medium or, and so forth. And in reading some of the material, I see that this wasn't a subtle thing for Jane Roberts when it came on. It was
an accident.
And she, I wrote down, she described it as an LSD trip without drugs. She said all of a sudden, she writes, there were ideas or thoughts that were pulsating. There was sensations were all intensified. At one point, I remember she said she even looked at like a nail sticking out of the wall, and she became the cells of that nail, And, she said that knowledge was being implanted in the very cells of her body so that she couldn't forget. And then, she talks about a separation of worlds that was paper thin, and then she was suddenly flung through this barrier, somewhat violently. So it was not something that, well, is this or isn't it? This was an aha. And people talk about a Kundalini like experience, maybe this is similar. I really don't know, but and the other thing that struck me is at the beginning, both she and her husband did not believe in survival. So they were not convinced at the beginning that Seth was a person that once existed. She was. From what I read, was contacting famous psychologists, and trying to figure out whether this was a dissociative personality disorder. And maybe this was coming from her subconscious, which turns out later on not true. So, you remember reading that stuff?
Way at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's where I started.
Well, may I ask what it reminds me a bit of Ask and It Is Given, the couple that had focused on meditating And after about 10 months of daily meditation, one day, the woman, I think her name was Sylvia, suddenly started channeling. And did Seth come forth after some deliberate practice? Or?
Well, actually, I think Seth, at the beginning was with a Ouija board.
It started when Jane Roberts was supposed to be providing the next specs to her publisher for a book. And she was coming to her deadline and didn't have an idea. And at that time, and I think we were all like real little kids then, when UFOs and ESP was the popular topic of discussion, but just as taboo as the afterlife is today, she decided, I'm going to just throw that at them. They're going to tell me no, that's going to buy me some more time. And when she told them she was going to write a book on ESP, the publisher wrote back and said, what a great idea. And so they didn't know what to do. And I think it was the Ouija board that they first turned to for their first experiment, not expecting to get anything, and they did.
Wow.
So
that was kind of fascinating, you know, because I don't know. I've tried the Ouija board a couple of times. I don't know about you. I don't know if nothing happened really with me. But in reading, you know, that planchette was, you know, it was like zipping around. You know, they could hardly write it down, you know, quick enough, you know, and with, you know, really meaningful things. So that was pretty interesting.
There's two ways to look at that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, today when you will sit with a Ouija board, you will be an open-minded skeptic. And I think that might block whatever's coming through. There's the other thought that Seth was going to get this material through one way or another, and the Ouija board was there. Hey, let's use it. After a while, she stopped using the Ouija board. She realized it wasn't necessary.
Right. A lot of mediums talk about getting started using tarot cards,
right,
and then eventually they don't need those anymore either.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just a focus point.
Did you want to take a call?
We do have a caller, so why don't we see what direction that will take this conversation in.
Okay.
We have Pam from Massachusetts.
Hello, Pam. Are you there, Pam? Well, we'll check back.
All right, we'll check back.
The what struck me with the also the Seth.
Hello?
Oh, you are there, Pam.
Pam.
Hi. Signs of Life, and are you familiar with the Seth material?
No, I'm not. I have a personal experience that I wanted to share.
Okay.
Let's see. My husband and I, we had a nice big trucking business, and he went in for some surgery that went terribly wrong, and he was in rehab for about 6 months, and then he passed. He has been trying very, very hard to get in touch with me, and it's been 2.5 years. Specifically, my immediate next door neighbor to my right received a cell phone for Christmas, the year of his passing, and it had his business phone number on it. So she gets his business phone calls quite frequently now. That's one thing. Another thing that has happened is that I became drawn to light, and I had purchased one of those lights that you can put up in your yard that are solar, and we've had some windstorms, and it's been broken, but it still works. Still changing color all the time, even though it's not even connected. It's been blown off of the entire stick that it's on, and it still continues to work. And from what I understand, where we live is a very religious area. It's where the cross is in central Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of souls. You can drive by in your car and just leave your cell phone out, and if you look at the pictures afterwards, you can see pictures of priests and children. There's been a lot of people that have come out this way to find the activity and things like that. So, and I know he wants to get to me, but I can't get to him.
Have you tried?
Very, very frustrating.
Have you tried in getting a medium involved?
I have had some medium involvement, and I've had some very successful and very not successful times. So I hold out hope for that, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about this sometimes, too, is that, you know, we don't know, the mechanism that allows it, you know, and it might be, you know, some sort of a synchronization or resonance among not only the person in spirit, but, you know, with the, you know, the sitter or the person they're trying to contact or, you know, or if there's a third party.
Isn't it all about frequencies?
Yeah. So, you know, it's possible that for some reason that your husband at this point in our time is not able to get through to you, but he's able to get through to somebody close to you, such as your neighbor. You know, so
right.
So you just have to remain open, and I always look at it as, you know, as spirit just finding whatever conduit that they can, you know, to get through. And sometimes it comes from places that you least expect it. So you know, and
well, it's very comforting, but the problem of it is that I have not heard anything from my family or my husband's family. They don't want anything to do with my son and I, and it's extremely difficult.
Oh, you mean your family that's still here on this living?
Yeah,
I understand that. I've experienced that myself.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, so,
you know,
I have a question for Pam. Does your husband come to you in dreams?
He has come to me in dreams. They've been very bizarre, but they have come. And ironically, I have multiple sclerosis, and I've been on very high medications of antidepressants with everything that's been going on. And just recently, I've asked them, I don't want to be numb anymore. I want to take some of these medicines away. And since I've come down off some of these medicines, I'm really getting some active dreams. And so I have a feeling that something's going to happen soon. I just don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where or when. And I'm dreading it because, you know, as anybody knows that's lost a loved one, you're in survival mode. You know, your brain cushions you. It does. It protects you from the reality of things. And when I'm actually forced to believe that, wow, this did happen, you know, it's very scary. So medication can help, but it can also hurt.
Yeah, well, medication can take you just so far, you know, but it tends
to
mask the symptoms.
It can't take away this pain.
No, but
you got to go through it. You can't go around it. Everybody
the only thing that's gonna
that.
The only thing that eventually helps is believing that your husband still exists, and then reaching that point of knowing that he exists, and that's helpful.
It's the reason I'm still here, to be totally honest.
Yeah,
that and my son. It's the reason I'm still here because
certainly understand that
the evidence is there. I know you do.
Thanks so much for calling, and good
luck.
Thank
you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. You know, well,
that's powerful, and I feel like, you know, her husband's trying to get. He is getting through.
Getting through, and you know, it's like we always say, and it's never enough.
Yeah,
it's never enough. I want them to materialize in front of me. You know, and we don't know how they do what they do, or what allows them to. We know that people do see their deceased loved ones. We know that they talk to them. We know that they hear them. We know that, in fact, that's Dave Kane's whole presentation that he's going to be doing on Saturday in Bethel, Connecticut, where he does show evidence of his son Nick actually showing up in photographs. And we're not talking an orb here. We're talking the kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can want and you can want. And I also think the wanting, when the wanting is that bad, it blocks.
Mm-hmm. We've met people like that, and it's true. And we're seeing the signs for them, but just look, see, but it's too deep.
It's hard, and it's your mind is in a different place. And I know even with Bob, I used to make him write it down. What do I need to write it down? Write it down. And then when he's in that, this can't be real, and you go back and you read the 30, 40 things you wrote down, and you think, oh, my God.
Another thing, I want to reiterate what you were talking about before, when you were talking about the raffle sales, that... and especially what the Pam had mentioned about the family not seeing eye to eye and thinking that maybe, you know, she's going down an evil road or something like that, but that mediums over the phone give excellent readings. And the Forever Family website, we have a listing of mediums that have been tested and certified, and you can try some phone readings with some of our mediums until you find the one that connects with you the way you like to be connected. I've been to several, I've tested several of our mediums, but I've actually gone back and sat in on readings, and I can tell that some of them hit you right on the right where you want it, and some of them, although they're excellent, you know, they don't give you the what you're looking for. So you can try out some of the mediums we have, but a phone reading is an excellent way to find the medium that's right for you.
Okay, you know, I know we were talking about this when you started reading the material. Is that Seth believed that we were all made up of personality fragments?
Yeah, we live in a multi-dimensional world, not just this three-dimensional physical world, but there are many, many, many other dimensions. And Seth actually says, yes, there is an afterlife. He does say that. But what we have to learn to wrap our heads around, which is very difficult, is that we are in a multi-dimensional world, and there are other dimensions that we don't see. And there are other person, he calls them personalities, of ourselves that developed in these other dimensions. So every time we make a decision, we change or create, or that the two ways the decisions could have gone, one is one dimension and the other one brings you into yet another dimension. So both possibilities have happened, but only one in the dimension in which you're recognizing yourself right now. And then the other personality developed could not even look like you or have the same name as you, because it's gone that far in the other direction.
In fact, there were two major quotes that I came across when reading the book that I had to write down, and Fran sort of touched on one of them. One of them, Seth says, life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Fran was saying, that you've heard the term power of positive thinking. Well, that's what this means, is if you focus and put your thoughts towards how you want your future to be, you can actually create that future. And I've read many books other than Seth, some of them from people who are not even in the spiritual world, financial advisors and things like that, who say one of the most important things you can do to be successful is write down your goals. Take out a pad of paper, write down what you want, you know, be as specific as you want. What kind of house do you want? What kind of car do you want to drive? What kind of salary do you want to make? What kind of work do you want to do? You write these down, and one of them even suggests taping it on the mirror and looking at it every morning when you get up. And that is this whole process. It all ties together. Seth was saying, yes, you create the reality that you want, and that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Fran and I are doing to get the conference center
right.
of our dreams.
We're focused on a conference center right now. But we do have another caller if you want to.
Okay.
We have Anna from, I believe it's Colorado.
Well, Anna?
Okay. Maybe we're on caller delay.
A time delay. Well, there is a bit of delay when you call in, actually.
So the interesting thing is, if we're all made up of these personality fragments.
Hello.
This must be Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You're on with The Gathering, and did you have a question or something you'd like to add?
Yes, I wanted to comment on the Seth material.
Okay.
Good.
I did read all of the books that were written by Seth, because Jane Roberts has other books as well.
Right.
Yes.
And then I've also read all of the books that were written by Esther Hicks, which is the one that wrote Ask and It Is Given.
Yes.
I think it was Pam that mentioned that.
Oh, I think that was Pam
that mentioned that.
Well, Melissa mentioned that, but she will.
Oh, Melissa. Oh, yeah, I can't see who it is. I just hear the voices.
Hi, Anna. Yes, I brought that up, and I mistakenly called Esther Sylvia.
Right. So I read all of those, and I think there's some interesting comparisons that can be made.
I'd like to hear it.
First of all, the Seth material is much more complex, in my opinion, and harder to follow.
Yeah.
Very interesting, but more difficult to digest. The Abraham material, which is what comes through Esther Hicks, is a lot easier to understand and follow and more practical in nature than the Seth material, from my experience of it. The other thing, a similarity between the two that I find interested is that Jane Roberts had the husband, Robert, who was very, very much a part of what she was doing, and she really couldn't have done as much without him. And the same thing is happening in the Abraham stuff, because Esther works with her husband, Jerry, and it's usually Jerry that has asked questions, and then later it's other people in workshops or whatever. But you have that husband and wife combination that seems to be very powerful.
Mm. Well, certainly the mediums that are channeling these entities have a lot on their plate. They certainly need some help.
Well, I think it was even more challenging for Jane Roberts because it was an era where we did not have tape recorders.
Right.
So even though her husband was a skeptic and he wasn't that involved at the beginning,
that's right,
he was willing to, by hand, record every single word she said.
Absolutely.
And Seth sent out during the writing process often would say, I'd like to explain this to you, but the human brain can't understand what I'm trying to say. And so he was taking a very, very complex set of concepts and trying to put it in terms that we could understand, because he wanted us to get the message.
I think neither one of them could have quite occurred the way they have if it hadn't been for the combination of the two.
Hmm.
Of the husband-wife team.
Yeah, somebody to record it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's true in a lot of real life circumstances. Not necessarily involving spirit. You know, it's some sort of synchronization between the two, the yin and the yang.
And so I had read all of the Seth material, so I was familiar with all of the Seth books.
Yeah,
there's a lot of books. But so I was familiar with all of that. And when somebody sent me a recording of Esther Hicks, which was maybe 10 years ago, so we're going back quite a while. It was in the early stages of what they were doing. I was very skeptical. I didn't really want to listen to it because I had heard a lot of channeled stuff that just didn't convince me.
Right.
And one of the things that convinced me about that material in particular, because with the Jane Roberts, I didn't have any personal experience, whereas Esther and Jerry Hicks are doing it now. Mm-hmm. One of the things that convinced me was that, and this is no offense to Jerry Hicks, who was asking the questions, and Esther was channeling the answers. It was apparent to anybody who listened for a little while that the level of the questions and the level of the answers were totally different.
Hmm.
Those answers couldn't come from the person asking those questions.
Right.
Hmm.
And I think that's one of the ways that you can tell that there is something going on. What's going on, that's debatable, but that something is going on. And then if you have a lot of material, like in the Seth books or now the Abraham books, also there's so much now available, there is a consistency throughout all of it that is very hard to keep. If you're, for a person that is ad-libbing answers over a number of years,
that's
very hard to keep. And to me, that also is a factor that indicates that there's something going on beyond the person.
No, that's very insightful.
That's the extent of my comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I have a question for Anna. Anna, have you happened to have read, it's not a channeled book, but it is in some way, Testimony of Light?
No, I have not.
That would be interesting for you to read, I think.
Okay, and who's it by?
That's a nun who has channeled
description, which is an actual description of what the other, how the other side operates.
Uh-huh. So I will look it up. Thank you.
Yeah, it predates the Seth materials as well.
Right. Oh, does it? Okay. I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, thank you.
It's on our website.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Do you think that now we've mentioned three or four of these significant, entities that have come through, do you think that they're... I would suspect they're not just choosing people at random, to get the message through. This is some research on their part that's gone through to people that can accept,
I think it is accepting. I get a lot of telephone calls in the office, but this week I got a telephone call from a young lady. I'm trying to remember where she even was because I talked to so many people. But she claims to channel this gentleman called Nathaniel, who's giving her all this, and she's telling me this information, and it sounds just like the Seth information. So I say to her, have you read Seth? No. Mm-hmm. So, she would have said yes, I would have been suspicious, but she didn't. So you're right, Bob. And maybe that's part of this shift that they keep telling us about. A lot more people are getting a lot more of this information, and some information is verifying other information, which is cool, but you also have to be suspect about that. I mean, do we know that the Abraham channeling people didn't read the Seth material first?
Started reading it, I kind of got that feeling that, they're just sort of cashing in.
I mean, I love the way Seth comes through and basically explains something and says, you're not going to understand this. Let me explain it.
Yeah.
Explains it. Clearly you don't understand it. But then he goes ahead and he gives an example of it.
Yeah.
And once you read the example, you say, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
And he's very good at doing that.
Yeah.
Now, you have to accept that Jane Roberts could never have done that.
Right.
She's coming up with a concept that even I can't understand, she can't understand, nobody can understand, even when it's explained, but then comes up with the example of how it's explained. So it has to be coming from someplace else.
Well, we'd be remiss going down this path without mentioning the ultimate example of this, and that's our dear friend who we love dearly, Janet Mayer, out in the Midwest, who channels the Yanomami shaman from a tribe in South America, and she speaks a language that she doesn't understand, that we don't understand, that universities around the country don't understand. It took the Smithsonian Institute to decipher what she was saying, and she was actually saying something that the tribe in South America could understand. Now, where did that come from?
Well, if we take, figure that out, Seth would say that we're all made up of these personality fragments, and each of these personality fragments has their own consciousness. And we can, in effect, send any one of these fragments into other realms of existence and get information and bring it back. So,
Right, and they do an experiment with it Seth conducts an experiment with a lot of the pieces of information that he gives. He actually demonstrates to Jane Roberts and her husband how it's done.
So then could not, I'm not familiar with the experiment, but if we're personality fragments in this physical existence, we probably remain the same in other realms. So let's say in the case that Tom just mentioned with Janet and the Yanomami, you know, the Yanomami shaman might be sending a specific personality fragment into this realm of existence, which Janet is picking up, you know.
Look at it that way.
So, you know, it's we kind of think in terms of, you know, of one spirit sitting there in this other realm and then focusing all his thoughts towards one entity, but
that's cool. I never even thought of
it. We can't even, you know, it's hard for us even to think in these terms, but Seth was.
Right. And one of the demonstrations that Seth does, and I think they have several people in the room. They have Jane, mm-hmm. they have her husband, and they have a guest who frequents there, and I think they were Monday night channelings, the way they set
it
up.
Yes, they had groups.
And Seth was trying to explain this personalities thing on a physical level, and I believe it was he asked Jane's husband to look in the mirror. And when he looked in the mirror, he saw not himself. He saw someone else.
Wow.
So, you know, it's that kind of stuff that makes you understand that these other personalities, these other dimensions, and how much of this unseen world we just refuse to recognize.
Yeah, there was a point, I think, was he was asked, and I don't know, maybe you want to go to a break or you want to work through this break.
You're asking me that.
Well, you know, you're the timekeeper, but I would say we just keep going. But
we apologize for our sponsors. We're going to keep going. It's important information, and I think it's good. Let's keep going.
Okay. Our sponsor is LNR Productions, and you can reach them at LNR Productions, LNR.
LNRProductions.com.
So, at one point, you know, Seth was asked if, you know, people in these other realms, you know, why would they want to contact, you know, people in this physical realm? And he answered something to the effect that there's something tempting about our plane of existence to those in other realms who still have emotional ties. And he says that, you know, people, not everybody, but some do have emotional ties, you know, to people here, and they do seek ways of getting through, and may not be one-on-one like we were talking earlier, maybe through some other channel, but that's what they do. But I think the inference was that it's not like everybody, you know, if we call it the other side, but, you know, anybody in this other realm of everybody is not scrambling constantly to try to communicate with us, you know. So, you know, that's an interesting perspective. Didn't Jane do astral traveling?
Yeah, they did experiments with that, too, where he would set a destination and Jane would go gather the information and actually have it validated afterwards by, I believe it was good friends of theirs who went on a vacation someplace. And Seth said that Jane should go visit where they were on vacation. And she did and came back with all the information. When her friends returned from vacation, she was able to tell them what they did on vacation.
Well, she evidently had
not much for taking Kodak moment.
She had a keen interest in science, you know, because I read, I mean, she contacted Ian Stevenson and Ryan and a lot of the leaders in the field of parapsychology to help her, you know, understand, you know, what was going
on. And thank goodness there were people like Ian Stevenson and Ron, because if you read her story, she met with a lot of negative response when she went out there to search for answers.
Well, you know, with these books and oftentimes visiting a medium, a lot of the time is spent convincing the reader that this person really is communicating to you from another realm. And often I, and maybe some of the listeners feel the same way, is, okay, I accept that. Now, what do you want to tell me? I mean, what's the message? And I want to go back to another thing that I wrote down from the Seth book. Seth had a specific message, and he said that people take life too seriously, and they don't take having fun seriously enough. And when we talk about different realms, and we have talked about choosing to come to this realm and that sort of thing, I have an expression myself that this life here on this plane is a vacation from everything else that's out there in the universe, and we come here for a vacation, and far too many people spend their entire vacation worrying about how they're going to get home. And the Seth message and the one that I'm holding on to is that, you know, you should have some fun while you're here, and don't worry about getting home, because you're going to get there. Everybody does, one way or the other.
But are you saying that when we get home, there's a lot of work in store for us?
A lot of the books talk about it. The one you just brought up, Testimony of Light, talks about nothing but working once you get over there.
But it sounds like a pleasurable thing. It sounds like you choose what you want to be doing. Like, I want to be doing what we're doing right now, what I have to go do in the morning.
Not all work is unpleasurable. In fact, you know, I mean, there are workaholics, and they're doing it because they love, they find something that they love to do, and they work hard at it. I mean, I personally have a job that I love doing.
Well, maybe calling it work.
It's the wrong thing.
Well, I think, and I think that's a problem with mediumship, is like they like to label things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, your loved one is leaving now because they have to get back to the work that they do. You know, it's just our language here. It is not necessarily work that they do, but whatever it is that they're doing, they're going back.
Well, I think they're definitely looking at it from a different perspective. So, you know, we think of it as work. They're looking at it, well, now they see a little bit more, not that they see all of it, but a little bit more of the big picture. So I think they realize that there are things that they can do, whether we call it work or not, that will help not only their advancement, but the advancement of everybody, which in turn just propagates what's supposed to be done in the universe. I think that... one thing that Seth wrote was that karma doesn't involve punishment. He said that it presents opportunities for development, which I had to laugh because I had just come from a business meeting, and they were reading the results of a survey that I took part in, and, you know, how you rate everything.
Yeah.
So they're going by each category, and one was, you know, excellent, and the other one, like, was good, and next category was opportunity, you know, instead of crap, you know. You always have to put a positive opportunity. I don't know. You know, one of the other things I wrote down from Seth is he said that when we're here, our flesh is embedded. I guess, you know, meaning that we have a physical body. But when you leave the body, the other body is quite real and seems just as physical, but with more freedoms. So I know a lot of people always ask, well, do we have a body over there? Well, evidently he's saying, yeah, you do. It's just that...
Right, and some of the mediums say no.
Yeah, well, just the body in terms of, when we say more freedoms, I guess that the bodies there can fly and manifest thought, you know?
Right.
More space. We talked about that in a show earlier this year, about how with quantum physics, the table has life. It's just that it's so dense that you don't see it move or that. We have more life than the table because we're not quite as dense. But then when we cross over or pass away, it gets even less dense than that. So it's not as solid as our body, and certainly not as solid as the table, but it's still a form. And what Fran was talking about before, another theme that has run through these shows of ours is the terminology that we're dealing with, the words that we're dealing with, where we say work and everybody goes, oh, I don't have to go to work, but it's more like, well, you want something to do. You know, the one is the worst thing. You asked a kid, you know, well, did you like it? No, I hate it. Why? Because there was nothing to do. Well, you know, there's more to do over there. Let's put it that way.
It's more mind thoughts. It's more mind-boggling.
I can't wait.
Well, another concept espoused by Seth is that we can change the future, and not everything is predestined.
and that our thoughts, like every action that we take, changes another action. So it's just, you know, it's ripple effects. So,
and I think that's what he meant by opportunity.
Right.
That when, with karma and opportunity, so that if you're faced with something that appears to be not what you want to do, but you seize the moment and you go for it anyway, that's the opportunity that you took, and there's your karma. So,
right. And not only are we creating our own reality here, but we also continue to create our own reality there, you know, when the next thing. So it's not a process that ends, you know, when we die. It's a continuum. You know, so we're constantly involved in a universe where our thoughts and actions, you know, have this ripple effect throughout, you know, all the other realms. And even though we're restricted by our physical laws, other realms of existence have totally different physical laws, and our thoughts and actions can permeate and go through to the different dimensions, you know, and that probably is the best explanation of how people can gain access to information that we can't figure out how they can gain.
That was one of the more important points that Seth brought out in working with Jane, was that there is no past, present, and future.
Yes.
That's only here in our linear world, in this particular world, we have that. But there is no past, present, and future. Everything is happening at the same time. Now, that's really hard to accept in the world in which we live in. But when that's why I think it's such a great piece of material to just continually go through, the Seth material, because each time he throws out a concept like that we find so challenging to understand, and then he gives an example, and it's like, whoa, now I get it. That's what's so great about the Seth material.
Yeah. I kept skimming through it and going to the end because I wanted to get the real meat of what is the meaning of our existence. I mean, that's the big question. And the closest that I could come at the end, he says that, I mean, so the lesson that we learn here, if you want to call it a lesson, is that that our thoughts create our own reality. But so when we die and we cross over to this other realm, if some people still don't realize that, and if we don't realize that our thoughts can create reality, then we come back, and then we eventually learn to handle our consciousness intelligently. And then we're able to bring back images that help other people and inform other people. And that's our purpose, you know. And then when we finally come to that realization, then we don't come back anymore.
And by come back, you mean reincarnate?
Reincarnate, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So the message today is, leave this world a better place than how you found it.
I think I heard that once before.
And be yourself. Don't have a facade, because when you're on the other side, apparently all of that drops away,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find yourself grouped with those same people. So if you're an envious or jealous person or ill-tempered and you're hiding it in some way, on the other side there's no hiding it.
And it blends with the teachings of Eckhart Tolle, who says live in the moment. That's all you've really got. People who worry about the future are worrying about something that doesn't exist. So enjoy every moment.
Which you're supposed to be creating anyway.
Exactly.
So how can a future exist if you have not yet created it?
Right. And then if you're enjoying the moment, then your future will be enjoyable.
Right. Well, I like this.
And the other thing with projecting these thoughts and these personality fragments, or however you want to term it, we can send those. Not only can we send those out, but sometimes we internalize them, and that's where we might send the negative energy to one of our organs, and that's how we get sick. You know. So instead of facing a problem, I guess that's the biggest lesson. If you don't face your problem, all of that energy gets internalized, and that in turn, you know, causes disease. So I guess all these things that scientists are starting to learn about
biofeedback and intention and the power of the mind to heal. It's well rooted, you know. Mm-hmm. May turn out to be the future of medicine. So the big question is, is fate in our hands or it's not in our hands? What does Seth say?
He says yes.
Yes, if we're creating.
Fate is ours to create.
Right. I agree.
But sometimes you just have to let something go.
Some people find
it. What happens in the universe. I mean, here's the concept. Here's the four of us in our own little world, and we all have a vision of our goal, of where we want to end up, but they're all four different visions. So would we then, might we be interfering with each other's final goal? And then some of us would say, well, let me step aside and just let happen what's going to happen and enjoy the moment instead of trying to create it.
A lot of people find comfort in believing that things are fated and they can't be changed. Because then they could just throw up their hands and say it's going to be what it's going to be, and there's nothing I could do to change it, and it sort of lets them off the hook.
Well, I think we're oversimplifying that. I think when you talk about fate, you're talking about the bigger picture of all the creative things happening at the same time and coming together. But when you're creating your own pathway, that's what you have control of, and that's all that you can do. Beyond that, you have to just let it go.
Right, and by you choosing your own pathway will very likely affect my pathway and Melissa's pathway and Mom's pathway.
Right.
Well, I guess we're winding down, and I guess we have to go back and read more Seth material. Maybe we should go to one of those Seth discussions and Seth conventions.
Maybe we should have a Seth convention.
We seem
to do conferences so well.
Maybe we'll invite Seth to our next conference.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah.
Ah, now we're talking about something.
And would you like to read your ending statement?
I would love
statement?
To read my prayer to the Gulf. Which, by the way, I just want to tell everybody, don't sit back. Create a wonderful world and a wonderful universe and clean water and fresh air and non-GMO foods and a responsive government, and I will now pray for the Gulf. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was written by Masaru Emoto on May 9th, 2010, after the Gulf tragedy.
And it's time to tell you all that
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.